Now, I need to remind you, church, this morning I've done some calculations, and my preaching time, I get more sermon time now. You may not know that, but I've thought about the fact that you're no longer driving to the building and driving home, and so that I've taken that driving time and added that, so I feel like I have a full 45 minutes to talk this morning, and so, you know, your time is still the same. Anyway, joking aside, church, glad you've tuned in this morning with us. We had 126 different devices that tuned in for class, and how many for worship? Hold on, try it again. I can't see well.
339.
Thank you. 339 right now, different devices tuning in and participating. So wherever you are, I know a number of you are in different states outside of Oklahoma. Wherever you are, it's good and it's encouraging that we are all one in spirit and gathering before God's throne this morning to honor Him and worship Him. He's still on His throne. He is still the Almighty. And Jesus, our Savior, is still our King. And so we find comfort in that. I don't know how things are going with everyone. I hope you're doing well and adapting and staying safe. You might say a prayer for my family. At my house, Stephanie, we've been having a little trouble. She tells me that the face mask that I wear on my ears, she tells me that's unnecessary, that really is not needed to help the spread of corona. And I just think you cannot be too careful. And so I tell her I can't hear her. And when this crisis is over, I will take those off and, you know, and then we can talk again. So we're struggling with that a little bit. Pray for us, church. I'm joking, of course. I'm joking. She's plenty loud enough for me to hear through those masks. I can hear her just fine. But anyway, a little humor for you. During these times, it is something that God has given us. Sometimes just a laugh a little is helpful. So this morning, we are going to dive into this topic, and answer this question: how does God want me to handle the corona crisis? It is a crisis. Our lives are being altered, and we pray for the future. We don't know what is coming, and we don't know how bad things will get. We don't know who will get sick and how many lives will be lost. These are things that we don't know, and so we kind of brace for this, and how are we handling it? How are you handling it as a question for us this morning? So flip in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Good scripture for us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. And it's where Paul writes, and he says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." And so I remind you that our bodies are temporary. If you've ever gone to the eye doctor and had your eyes dilated, you may have been issued this pair of disposable sunglasses that on your way home, if you don't have sunglasses, on your way home, especially if you're driving, if your eyes have been dilated, everything is bright, everything looks starry, and there's glare everywhere, and so you have these sunglasses that you get out and you fold out and they kind of awkwardly fit on your face and they're huge, and those are useful for a short time driving home, but they are disposable, and you don't see people typically, you don't see people wearing those because they were not meant to be used forever. And sometimes I wonder about our bodies, this earthly vessel God has given us. Do we view it as it's permanent? And the fact is, it's our lives here are temporary, and your main goal in life should be to enter heaven. And if that's our main goal, then you need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, that I cannot do that with this body. This mortal body has to die in order for us to accomplish our primary goal and leaving this earth and entering into the eternal world. This life is just a preview, and you may have been like me. I've been at the movie theater before and been watching a preview before the movie. And sometimes a preview runs so long or it is so engaging that for a split second I forget that that's not the movie I'm watching. That's just a preview. Oh yeah, we haven't even gotten to the movie yet. And how often we forget every day that this life is not the main movie. It's not the main event. That it's just a preview for the next one. And so reading on, verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." If we stop and think about things that we don't know, we don't know how long this corona crisis will last. We don't know how bad it will get. We don't know who will be hospitalized as a result. We don't know who will die. And we also do not know how long that we will live on earth, any of us. These are things we don't know. What we do know, one thing we do know is one day is coming when all of our physical bodies will wear out. They will be disposed. They will die. And that is in our future. And so the fact is, the truth is, most people's greatest fear is dying. Their greatest fear is death. And really, that's in our nature. It's in our nature to live. We to the core, we want to live. And therefore, we fear death. But look at what Paul wrote about Jesus and death. Verse 55, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." With this pandemic, some of us are concerned about dying, to be honest. And not so much because death is bad, but because we leave this life. We fear how that may be. We don't know what will take place. And so some of us are concerned, but the truth is we should all be concerned about the day that we will pass from here to there. And Paul reminds us death has no victory over the Christian because Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has given us victory over death and its consequences that come from sin. So I ask the question, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet Him face to face? We just sang a song titled, "There's a Stirring," and the song talks about, "Is He calling me?" And then it says, "I will rise up and lay down my crown." And the truth is, when your time comes, and God knows when each of our lives will end. And whenever that is, if it's before Jesus comes back or at the time Jesus comes back, either way, in that moment, this life will cease and time will cease. And the next thing we know, we will be before the Almighty. And our faith tells us, our hope is that in Christ, we will be counted righteous. And we will enter in, and we will be told those words, and we will lay down our crowns. Whatever glory we have, we'll put it at the foot of God and worship Him. And so the question I ask you is, are you ready for that? Are you ready? Because we've never been guaranteed tomorrow, and we tend to live like we are, and we tend to look forward to the future, and we make plans, and now we're in a time where all of that's shaken up, and we're all having to realize we cannot count on what tomorrow may bring. But are we ready to meet God? And this is a great passage that reminds us, if you're like, don't be like the world who fears death, because in Christ we don't have to fear death. Jesus has conquered death. And so when we die, the fact is we will be raised in Christ in a glorious body, a new body. Sometimes I look forward to that more than others. Sometimes when the old body reminds me it's wearing out, I look forward to the new body. That will be that's the permanent one. This one's temporary. This one is not to last forever. And so what are we to do in the face of trials? If we're not to fear, if we are not to panic because Christ has given us the victory, what are we to do? So notice this, next verse, 58. Here's how we should handle the coronavirus. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Notice the word steadfast. It's not a word that we tend to use a lot in our language, in our conversation. But the word steadfast, in the New Century Version, it's translated stand strong. In the NIV, it's translated stand firm. And it's from the Greek word hedraios, which means to sit, to be immovable, to be settled. It means to be firm. Steadfast means to be firm, unwavering. And there's a scene from the movie Braveheart where the Scottish Army is being led by William Wallace, the character William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson in this movie. And they are defending against the English Army who are charging. And so you will see the character William Wallace tell his troops to hold. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait until they make their move. And so I'll go ahead and play this clip for you. Hard for me to watch that. That scene stresses me because the enemy's coming, and here they are ready to defend themselves, and they're holding. They're being steadfast. And it's hard to watch that because you want to act. And I think we feel that way with this virus coming. We've been told safer at home, and so we stay home, and you're making adjustments. Some of you are still working. Some of you are working in the medical field, and you are in harm's way, and we thank you for that. Some are serving in other capacities, and you're interacting with the public, and you're in harm's way, but you continue, but you try to stay safe, and many are at home, working from home, or you're not working right now, not able to work. And so we're all adjusting, trying to. And they say this is going to get worse before it gets better. And so we brace ourselves. Here it comes. I remind you what steadfast looks like. Steadfast is holding. It's waiting. It's being settled. And there's a couple characters that you notice their faces, probably this guy. He's holding, but he's also, he glances over to his comrades because he's not sure. He's trying to hold. He's doing what he's told, but he's really anxious about it. And maybe that's you. And so I remind you that God is still leading our army. God is still in charge. This is also a good place for me to remind you that Corona is not our enemy. Illness is not our enemy. Financial struggles, financial loss is not our enemy, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Those things are trials for us, but our enemy is Satan, and our enemy is sin, and our battle is spiritual. And so, church, just a reminder, this world is temporary. This whole world is like those throwaway sunglasses that you're issued from the eye doctor. That's what it is. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Our lives, our bodies, everything we hold dear, we love it. But God says, don't love this world. The next world is what we look forward to. And so you may be like this character, that you're trying to be steady, you're trying to be steadfast, but you're looking around. And then this character, I encourage you to be like him. Be this guy, holding steadfast. He's settled. He's waiting. He finds confidence in the leader of his army, and we find confidence in our leader, God Almighty, who's still on the throne. So, flip to it now. Understanding what steadfast is, look to James 1, verse 2. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And of course, this is a trial for us right now. None of us have had the experience of not being able to gather each week, each Sunday morning, like we have now, outside of times when you've had illness. But as a congregation, to where we could not meet, we've not had that. This is a trial. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The truth is, older Christians should be more steadfast. You've had more trials. You've seen more things. Hopefully, you've seen God being faithful time and again. Remember when young David went up to King Saul when they had the battle against the Philistines and they were separated, and Goliath would come out and challenge them every day for 40 straight days. And young David goes up to King Saul. He says, I'll go fight him. And when he tells him why, he tells him how God delivered him from the bear, God delivered him from the lion, and God will do the same with this Philistine. And so, older Christians, you should have that story. That should be your story. That, hey, God was faithful. Listen, I went through a trial here, through trial there. We went through this global event, this regional problem, and God was faithful. Steadfastness. There's an aspect of this word that means patient endurance. How patient are you? In this movie clip, did you notice the first word? You know, the character William Wallace, he keeps saying hold. He says hold, hold, and here comes the enemy. Hold. Do you remember the first word he said? In this movie clip, the first word he said, and he never said it again, then he kept saying hold, but the first word he said was steady. Steady. Hold. Hold, hold. That's what steadfast is. Steadiness. And as Christians, the world may panic, but we should not panic. We should be steadfast. We should be showing an amount of confidence in God that no matter what comes, our God is still faithful and He's still capable. Titus 2 verse 2 says, Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Patriarchs, you older men, we are looking to you for examples of steadiness, of steadfastness. It's one of the reasons our plan is, as we've had your elders and shepherds before you in these broadcasts, and Tom led prayer this morning, and we appreciate our shepherds because we look to them. We look to them for steadfastness, for confidence, for faith in our God. They are our leaders, and so we look for that. So you older, in addition to our elders, our three elders, but you older men, remind us how faithful God is. And the same thing, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Men, this is how we need to be. And the same idea is for matriarchs. Some of you grandmothers, mothers, you have a family that is looking to you for strength. You may be the spiritual strength in your whole clan, and they are looking to you for steadfastness. And so remind them of how faithful God's been in the past and how many trials He's helped you through. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit." And I hope that's what we are doing as a church. I hope we are standing firm in one spirit, because Satan will try to divide us over this. Satan will try to bring about, he will capitalize on any weakness, any disruption, any problem we have in life. That's who our battle is against. That's who our enemy is. And Satan will do that. He is doing that. And as a church, will we stand firm in one spirit? And so I remind you to do that. Stay connected as best you can through phone calls, texts, emails, social media, whatever means, safe means you can. Stay in contact with each other. Let us stand firm together. We are not changing our minds about who's on the throne. It has always been God, and it always will be. And so that's where our confidence comes from. And we have firm faith that God will bring about good things as a result of this trial. Don't you believe that? That God is going to bring about, He's going to bring about good things. He's working good in this. I would ask the question, can God work good spiritual outcomes, whatever this crisis brings? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Flip in your Bibles. Another scripture I want to share with us, and then I will give this lesson to you for the day. James 1:12. James 1:12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." And so the idea there is God, you will be blessed by God. God is going to reward you. That you do well, good for you, if you remain steadfast under trial. So that's our goal. How does God want us to handle the corona crisis? He wants us to handle it with steadiness, steadfastness. He wants us to act like He's still on the throne, to act like Jesus is still our King. Jesus is leading us into battle, not against a virus, but against spiritual forces. Be steadfast. "For when He has stood the test, He will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him." I used a picture this morning for our PowerPoint of a lighthouse. And the storm is against it and the waves are against it. And I think it's a pretty good example of what steadfast looks like. It doesn't mean that we're in a vacuum. It doesn't mean God keeps the storm from us, although we pray things like that. I pray that I and my family will not get this virus, and I know you do the same. We pray that our most vulnerable would not be ill, would not die from this. That's not our will. So we pray for those things. The storm comes, but will we stand firm? And will we have confidence in our God? That's how God wants us to handle it, with steadfastness. I leave you with this one more character in this movie. This is the guy that I want to be. His face, the one who has blue streaks on his face is one of anticipation. And it's not fear, but it's confidence. He knows who's leading his army, and he's ready to follow. And he is steady, but he's also confident. And I remind you, you can be that, because your God is still capable. He's still faithful. He is still working good works. And many good things may happen as a result of this crisis. There are always opportunities for God to do good, even in difficult times. So, church, those are some thoughts that I would give you to take, and I hope that encourages you this week. Let's have a prayer together, and we will close out and finish with a reminder. We'll put up on a slide the broadcast that we are sharing on Wednesday nights, so be sure and take a look at that and stay connected and stay safe. So let's bow together. God, we thank you for every day that you give us, and every first day we started by worshiping you, and we do so this morning. And although we are separated physically, we are absolutely united in spirit. And our hearts, we lift up to you, and we ask that you put your hand on our hearts and steady us. We pray that you would give us confidence. We pray that you would remove fear from us. Remind us how powerful you are. Remind us how good you are. Remind us that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. We pray for that. And God, we will follow you wherever you take us, and we will do so with confidence, and we will do so in a way that we pray honors you and glorifies you. So help us to let our light shine to the world. Help us to think of others. May the world see that the church cared about others during this time, and may they see a difference in us and want to draw near to you. That is our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.